Hello and welcome to In the Limelight, Vanity Fair's entertainment and pop culture podcast. I'm Josh Duboff, Vanity Fair's senior writer, and I'm here with Julie Miller, Vanity Fair's senior Hollywood writer.
On In the Limelight, we analyze the ins and outs of pop culture, entertainment, and celebrity from the past week, from the Kardashians to Kate Middleton and everything in between.
A very special sort of episode today that doesn't happen all that often, which is that we are in the same place at the same time.
We are in the same room looking at each other.
It's a wild, amazing occurrence, a Christmas miracle, and we are in New York. I feel like we haven't done a New York episode in a while.
We really haven't. And we're recording a few holiday specials today and tomorrow.
Yeah, we have two very exciting guests coming up. Michelle Collins, who is a dear friend of both Julie and me, Vanity Fair contributor.
She hosts a radio show on Sirius. She's hilarious. If you're not a fan, if you don't know her, you will absolutely be after listening.
She was a co-host on The View.
Yes.
And we have a lot to get into her. She is a pop culture fanatic in the same way that we are. So we're really excited to discuss all sorts of things with her. And then we also have Katie Nichol coming on, who is a Vanity Fair contributor who covers the royals. She's based in London. She wrote a book about Prince Harry that came out recently, and I feel like we're going to have a lot to dig into with her.
Right. She has some sources with intel about Kate and Meghan, William and Harry, so we are going to ask her.
I feel like she's going to have a lot to say about the Kate Meghan rumors. I mean, there's like obviously so much to get into with her. But yeah, okay, today's episode, we are going to talk about the royal Christmas cards that came out in tandem. Very different cards for the Cambridges and the Sussexes, and we will explore what visuals they both opted for. Also, Meghan, just this morning, had a very interesting appearance that we have a lot to talk about.
Right, and of course, Tom Markle reappeared, had more to say. Amazingly, astoundingly. So we're going to get into that interview. But first, these Christmas cards. I feel like they could be the subject of some sort of like college seminar because they're so different in aesthetic.
Oh my God. It's like, yeah, that's so true. Like an art history, a photographs class or something. They chose such different visual routes.
Right. I never really thought of a holiday card as a branding, like marketing tool, but yeah. I feel like Kate and William really had their message clear. Very wholesome card, I guess, taken in the fall. This photograph outside their Anmar Hall home with all three kids.
What was your first thought when you saw the card of the five of them?
I would say it looked like a really beautiful Eddie Bauer ad.
Yeah. Well, it's like my first thought. Well, I guess right away I noticed.
Josh just pulled up the photo so we can refer to it.
This only happens when they're in the same place at the same time. The background almost looks like a Photoshopped screensaver.
Oh, interesting.
That you would see. It's so vivid and like these kind of really intense autumn trees. And it's just, it's like very overpowering to me somehow. There's a lot actually to take in. I think. No, I noticed that George is wearing pants, which was unusual.
Oh.
I think this is the first time he's ever been photographed in any official capacity not wearing shorts. Kind of crazy.
It's major.
And I'm the opposite. I've never been photographed wearing shorts, I don't think, in my entire life. But he also looks so tall to me. It's kind of wild.
It is.
And it's kind of this wild leg situation happening.
Right. Everything else is kind of very posed about the photo, but George can't be contained.
Right.
And I kind of love that spontaneity.
I feel like I'm really trying to do some like art theory here or something. I appreciate that the photo isn't very, it's formal, especially compared to the Meghan Harry one, which we'll talk about soon, but like it doesn't feel particularly like posed.
No, it doesn't feel posed, but I feel like that, again, is part of their brand. It's very accessible, relatable. Mm-hmm. This could be any family. They're just wearing like normal clothes. I think Charlotte's in some sort of hand-me-down sweater.
Louis looks like a little person. I kind of love it.
He looks like a little person, some serious eyebrows.
I feel like you can get the sense from their, especially from William and Kate's expressions here, that the second after this photo was taken, they kind of like collapsed, you know? I feel like this captured the one instant that they all were kind of looking at the camera.
Right.
Charlotte's really giving some good, I feel like she's posing in like a very fun way. I feel like she has a lot of personality, you can tell.
A lot of personality. I think it's cute. I really like it. And wasn't this one released first?
Yeah. So this one got 1.8 million likes on Instagram.
Oh my gosh, the analytics here, Josh.
Yeah, now we're really doing some number crunching.
Let's do a
sampling. My favorite piece is the rubber boots. Looks like he just jumped through a puddle of water. Really zeroing in on George's footwear there. Platinum finds. This is why they are future king and queen. Oh God, well, we're about to get into some drama. Using a wedding pick smacks of manipulation.
Oh my goodness.
Must still be upset that Eugenie got her tiara. Oh my God.
Wow.
The kids are so cute and I love this picture. It seems very family first. Love the normalcy of this photo. Italy loves you guys. Beautiful family. The most beautiful family ever. Oh my, people are really very positive. I hope Duchess Meghan forgives her dad. People are just coming in with all sorts of commentary that has nothing to do with the photo.
Thank you for not showing us your back.
People can't help. This is the internet we're talking about. Instagram comments, the dark, dark corner of the internet. But people are going to, you know, bring in all sorts of things.
What?
Okay, so now let's talk about the Meghan and Harry card. Now, I don't want to make it too much of a competition, but as we just noted, 1.8 million likes for the Kate, William, George, Charlotte, Louis affair. Meghan and Harry didn't crack a million.
Wow, I think that's very telling.
Though, I have a theory about that. I think it's because you don't see their faces.
Agreed.
I feel like if someone's just scrolling through their feed, you can't help but see the beaming faces of George and Louis and Charlotte. But if you scrolled through your feed quickly and this photo came by, you could think it was from some random influencer you follow or some family friend. Like, there's nothing about this photo to me that if you didn't really look at the caption carefully, you would immediately understand what you were looking at.
Right. It's black and white. Taken at the reception of their wedding, right? In Windsor, the sky is lit up with fireworks. You see the couple from their backs. You see they're kind of holding hands behind their back.
The hand-holding maneuver to me is the kind of, it almost looks like an interlocking, like a rope that gets tied up or something in some knot that you can't figure out how to untie. And they're always, we've talked about this before, but I feel like they're always touching in some sort of unusual way that looks a little unnatural.
I mean, I guess it's cute. It's very artful. It kind of looks to me like some sort of like advertisement for a jewelry store at the local mall, right?
Yes. That's such a good call. See, that's what's interesting. Like, I think it's an interesting photograph. Like, I like it. And it feels very her. Well, Julie, it's not.
It feels very her. To me, I just feel a little bit bad for Harry because my takeaway here is I feel like the only part of him accentuated is his balding head, which I don't know. I just...
It's this odd pick to me for a holiday card. It feels like a card that you would maybe Meghan would like and she would earmark it when she was looking through the wedding photos and want it in the album somewhere. You know, have you ever put together... I've never been married, so I don't know where I'm pulling this experience from. But like when you're putting together an album... And I could see this being like the final picture in the album.
Right. Like you, good closer.
When you were finishing the album, there's been like 80 photos. Like the last page would be this photo.
Exactly. That is exactly what it is.
But for a holiday card that you send out to everyone, it just feels a little bit weird.
Right. It's supposed to be a happy glimpse of your family. There's been a lot of flack about the fact that their backs are to the camera, including from...
Yeah. Wait, what did Samantha Markle have to say about that?
Of course, Samantha Markle had a hot take, and I have to say that I actually agree with her a little bit.
Doesn't happen every day that we agree with Samantha, so.
She said, interesting that the Duke and Duchess of Sussex have their backs turned. Is this towards the world or just the Ragland and Markle family? It's a bit sad. Face the Christmas spirit. And then I guess she got
It sounds like a threat when she says it. Face the Christmas spirit.
I know, from the Grinch herself. And I guess she got some flack for that, so then she followed up. It's incredibly rude to turn your back in a Christmas photo that is meant to share warmth and good wishes with the world. I love that she is suddenly kind of the etiquette spokeswoman for like holiday cards everywhere. Those that criticize me for pointing out the truth need to get that brown stuff off of their noses. I hear the world's smallest violin playing.
She's just pulling out every possible like cliche. I mean, also, it's so true. I feel like whatever Megan's doing, she finds some way of trying to come down as if she's the expert on this topic.
Right. It's just, it's not a warm photo. And I feel like, again, as a branding marketing tool, this is a perfect chance for them to let people in, show a warmer side of themselves. It is interesting, though. Someone on the internet dug up the save the date from Megan's first wedding, and it's weird that it has the exact same aesthetic. It's also black and white. It also shows Megan and her first husband, Trevor. You just see their backs. They're kind of seated on the beach looking out at the ocean. But it's very...
That's interesting.
It's very much a similar aesthetic.
Julie found that this morning and sent it to me, and... I'm going to pull it up. But it was very, I was surprised. It's very similar.
Right. I'm just curious if like a palace aide tried to dissuade Megan from this choice.
The focusing on the back, I don't know. It can be done artfully, I guess. But I don't know. I feel like this photo, there's so many options I feel like they could have picked from for their wedding. I don't agree with whatever weird comment we just read earlier about on the Kate photo, because I think it's like normal to do a photo from your wedding when you got married in that year for your holiday card.
Right.
It's just, this seems like this pic seems what's unusual.
Right. And the comments here are kind of reflective of this confusion. I'm sorry, what?
That can sum it up, I guess. I love this little back and forth feud you can discern in the comments, though. Like, someone's responding to someone else. I can't see who they're responding to. It's their card, not yours. Put color in yours if you want. Personally, I love it. Oh, I guess that's interesting, too, because this is black and white versus the very colorful one that Kate and William posted.
Oh, I kind of love this. Same pic as her Trevor and Meg save the date wedding card. Harry, you are a prince and you have been reduced to a prop.
I mean, it's tricky because I feel like the palace almost is playing into the feud rumors in this weird way by posting these cards on the same day. And unless they had a really... I want to give their PR team enough credit to believe that they would know this was a little striking, the difference between the two. So I don't really know why they felt the need to put them up minutes apart from each other. If anything, I feel like they knew they were just going to generate all the headlines they did about how different the cards were. Like, I feel like the comparison made it weird, like putting them up on Instagram at the same time. Like, I don't know. The whole thing's a little like messy to me.
It's a little messy. But do you know who didn't get a holiday card, Josh? Tom Markle.
Ooh, transition. Julie's transitions. When we're in the same room, these transitions, you don't know where they're going to go. Thomas Markle. I don't know, Julie. I mean, I just can't believe he's still giving interviews without any new info other than just his like general ramblings about what's going on in Meghan's life. But he hasn't spoken to her. He doesn't know anything about what's going on with her. And yet it's being treated like world global exclusive. And when I sent onto Twitter yesterday, his name was a trending topic in the US. So he gets attention for this stuff.
He gets attention, but it's just pulling focus from this pregnancy, which should be a very happy time. If I'm Megan, I think at this point I would send him something, some little text, a little tiny olive branch, and just see if he quiets down.
The thing, I know, but we were talking about this last night. I feel as though if I were her, I would just be nervous that she would text him and he would immediately, you know, read it on air somewhere or shut, you know what I mean? I feel
right.
Like he hasn't proven himself in any way to be able to be a secret keeper or subtle, you know. I just feel like to be able to be trusted with stuff that Megan would tell him,
I feel like no one's gonna trust Tom Markle. Even his friends after this are probably thinking twice.
So he Skyped in from San Diego. I'm really curious where he was calling in from, because I thought he lived in Mexico.
He lives in Mexico, but it's a short drive, so maybe.
Oh, is it?
Yes.
Oh. But Julie, when you get back to the West Coast, I feel like you need to make a trip down to San Diego to try to suss
out. Oh my God, should we go spring break just to track down Tom Markle?
Where is Tom Markle hiding out down there? the bunker where he's Skyping in from. We'll have to do some context clues. What was the background of the Skype? I don't even think. It wasn't like a beach, was it?
Oh my God, no. I don't even know.
Probably just a blank room or something. Anyway, he called in to Piers Morgan and Susanna Reid of Good Morning Britain. I mean, the Piers Morgan component is its own weird thing because Piers, as we know, had this meeting with Meghan before she started dating Harry, clearly thought they were friends somehow, and now feels, oh, Julie just pulled up the backdrop.
It's tasteful.
It's kind of tasteful. It looks like there's like a kind of gray, sheathy curtain. And I guess like
a plant
of some sort.
He's wearing a blazer.
Yeah, he looks put together. But anyways, the fact that he's calling Piers Morgan, I find very weird. Because Piers Morgan has now turned on Meghan so intensely. And he's written all these Daily Mail posts about how she's a social climber. And it sounds basically like he's just upset. He like didn't get a wedding invite and hasn't been looped in Meghan's life.
Right.
Him interviewing Tom seems also strange. It's like not a, this is not an unbiased interviewer.
Right. Piers has this weird vendetta against Meghan. It's just like intent on bringing her down. But so Josh, what did he have to say this time around? Because I feel like he's already given up everything he has.
So he said he hasn't spoken to Meghan since the wedding, which obviously we all could assume slash knew. And he says, I loved this way of putting it. And this was, I think, the main headline people did when they were aggregating. But he said he feels like he's being ghosted.
Oh, which I love that. I feel like he just learned that term.
Yeah. Because I was surprised at that word choice from a 74-year-old.
Right. I know. Did Samantha finally tell him? That was probably on the notes that she gave him the talking points.
Because I just was surprised. That is an interesting word choice for a soon-to-be grandfather. I've been ghosted, he said. I'm not sure why it's happening. It's like, really, or not? I love my daughter very much. I wish she would reach out, send me a text, as you're saying, Julie, anything. There has to be a place for me. I'm her father. So that's his kind of central driving thesis here. But then I love that he immediately follows that up by referring to his daughter as controlling, which I'm sure is like, we always say this, but he's so self-sabotaging. It's like he'll say something like that where all he wants is to hear from Meghan, and then he flips to saying something vaguely negative or that has some weird connotation to it. So he immediately followed that up by saying, she has always been a very controlling person, and that is a part of her nature, but she has never been rude. She has always been in charge. Do you think that was his way of commenting on the Kate-Meghan feud rumors?
Right.
I can't really tell what he was getting at there.
I think it was. I just love that, like, in Tom Markle's, like, family feud game, if the question was, like, ways to lure your daughter back into the fold by going on all these interviews, calling her controlling.
He's just airing stuff out here that you shouldn't say on television.
Right.
So then he turns directly to the camera and he says, I guess, you know, the direct appeal to his daughter. I love you very much. I would like to hear from you. Whatever difficulties we've had, I hope we can work through them. We're family. It's just, it all feels like too late to kind of be able to communicate something like that, seeming earnest. Yeah, just it's not working. So then this is the other kind of new element he brought into things, which is that he's appealing not only to his daughter, but to the Queen. He said, I'd be grateful for anything she can do, which I kind of, as if, like, I don't know, I feel like that's the way you talk about, like, a networking favor. If you, like, ask your uncle if he can, like, set you up on a job interview or something. It's just something so weird about that way of putting it when you're talking about the Queen. I would think she would want to resolve any family problems. All families, royal or not, need to be together, especially in the holidays.
What a bold take to drag the Queen into this.
It's almost as if he's guilt-tripping the Queen.
Right, dragging the Queen into this tacky kind of family feud just all across
the... And a lot of weird, like, the way he projects, like, what the Queen would be thinking... Or the cheese must be upset by this. It's wild. It's a bold, bold stance to take. That, like, it's not only is he saying, oh, you know, it'd be nice if the Queen, you know, even knew who I was. He's going to this weird extreme of that the Queen should be, like, intervening and doing a parent trap style setup to get them in the same room or something.
Right. Like, playing mediator? I don't.
And I'm curious what your take is on this. He's also now trying to... It's almost like Samantha and him brainstorm what the biggest news pegs are.
Right.
So it's like, holidays is a big one. Let's bring that into it. And then, obviously, the pregnancy. So he's saying that he's hoping the baby somehow gonna maybe affect Meghan's feelings. I think she will make a great mom and maybe things will soften a bit and we will get back in contact. I'm certainly hoping that everything goes well, that they produce a beautiful baby. I hope I'll get to see a little Meghan or a little Harry. To me, this is a week after, because we talked about this last week, when he was bringing up Harry's past exploits and his drinking.
Right, and saying like, hasn't done anything half as bad.
And now all of a sudden it's this sweet, I can't wait to meet a little Harry. It's not real. Or I don't know if it's not real, but it doesn't feel authentic.
No, it's just very misguided. I'm curious how the palace will handle. Do you think that the queen will get involved?
Well, you know, we've always said we kind of, I feel like we both agree usually that she should just keep not commenting. And somehow, I don't know what's shifted in me. Lately, I'm thinking that now they should reach out somehow. Because I guess it just sort of is seeming so bleak that he's just never going to stop doing these interviews, so that they need to do something.
Right. Maybe it's the holiday spirit that's kind of warming your heart. You want them to have some
sort of... Yeah, but see, it doesn't come from a place of... Like, I don't think he's handling this in a good way. Like, I just feel like it's almost like more of a damage control thing. So, in that vein, the Daily Mail ran a report today that the palace, like Julie and me, is enraged and exhausted by all of this. The royal household is allegedly enraged and exhausted with Mr. Markle, who claims he sends Meghan text messages every day. According to the Mirror, palace sources said the royal household... They believe he's gone a step too far by trying to draw the queen into the row. And so I feel like that is going to maybe trigger something now that he's kind of putting some weird, not blame, but some sort of like pointing a finger at the queen.
I think if I'm the queen, I resent Meghan a little bit that she hasn't handled this situation. There have been reports that the queen has offered her palace aides.
And Meghan said, no, she's handling this.
Right, but she clearly hasn't been able to handle it. I mean, if she's getting text messages, I just don't understand why she can't just say something, again, a small olive branch, like, let's try this, but you can't speak to anyone, like one's baby steps or something, just so he stops talking to Piers Morgan.
I guess I sort of feel like, right, something has to happen. If you were advising Meghan right now, you would say, like, send him a text.
I would have her advisor maybe reach out to him. And just start
a conversation.
Start a conversation, but make it clear that he has to prove himself, that he can be discreet, that he can have some sort of conversation without leaking it to the media.
This also feels to me, because at first I was, it's interesting they've never made any kind of, he's not going to fly to London, but I wonder if somehow it's almost like hush money, like that vibe. Like, what if they were like, we'll fly you to London. You can see your daughter, have a lunch.
Right.
We'll fly you back.
Right.
Like, do you think that would be enough to have him stop talking?
Yeah, I think it would. I think he wants a dialogue. Right.
And then maybe they said, we'll fly you, you can do this. You have to just stop talking to the press. I could see that maybe working.
Right. I just hope for our sake, our sanity, and our listeners that Meghan figures it out so we don't have to keep hearing about him.
Agreed. I feel like this just keeps coming up.
Okay. Speaking of Tom Markle, a few weeks ago, he provided his medical records to the Daily Mail, hoping to prove that he did indeed suffer a heart attack, which prevented him from being at his daughter's wedding.
Right.
In response to these documents, we have a listener who works in medicine. She wanted to share her very thorough analysis of these records.
And I think we're very excited to have a medical expert weighing in here because Julie and I do not have this expertise. And this is a very detailed take on what Thomas Markle submitted in that interview with the Daily Mail.
Take it away.
Hi, this is Isabel. I'm calling about Thomas Markle's supposed confirmation that he had two heart attacks prior to the royal wedding. I work in medicine and it's just not consistent. Heart failure, also called congestive heart failure, is a chronic condition in which your heart is not having a heart attack. It's just you have too much fluid in your body. It can be easily fixed with lisinopril or other pills that will, diuretics per se. So for the summary of patient services, special services for $82,000, That would probably be intensive care doctors. Like, each doctor charges his own bill. The intensive care room has its own, just like a hotel, and they are also astronomically expensive. Lab services, that's just taking blood work, all that stuff. Pharmacy is medication, obviously. Emergency care services, he probably entered through the emergency room, and then was brought up to the ICU. And radiology is just x-rays, CAT scans, MRIs. $966 makes me think they probably just did a EKG and a chest x-ray, which is pretty standard for chest pain management. What I found was really interesting also was that he was told he had a widowmaker heart attack. That's just not consistent. A widowmaker is a 100% blockage of the LAD, and that is an artery that goes into your heart. However, you have minutes, which is why it's called a widowmaker. You would not have time to be taken across the border to a U.S. hospital. You would have to essentially be in a hospital to be saved. So that doesn't make sense either. But mostly the CHF is probably what he had. He probably had a fluid overload and was having difficulty breathing. You could have chest pains, and they just treated him in the hospital. A two-night stay is not out of the question for that. He might have had a minor myocardial infarction or a heart attack, but nothing on here shouts this man had a heart attack.
Thank you for this insight. I just love that we have someone in the medical profession who listens to the podcast, has been like reading line by line Thomas Markle's documents.
I know. Now we need someone on Melissa. I don't even know how to track down what she's doing, but I want like fact checkers on all different things.
Right. So. We need experts, expert listeners in all,
yes,
all fields. Thank you so much for that analysis.
Thank you. Yeah. And this might be a good time to mention too, on the Meghan parent front, that Doria is apparently not going to be spending Christmas at Sandringham with the family, as had been previously reported. I think we'll ask Katie Nicholl about that when we talk to her, because I'm very intrigued by that, because that had been widely reported. It sort of felt like
it was an unprecedented invitation.
Yeah.
None of the Middleton family had ever been invited.
I wonder if somehow that, the kind of like unprecedentedness of it somehow got in the way.
Right.
But she could still come to London and hang out.
But Josh and I were talking about this last night. There is something very weird because Meghan did live with Tom for so long. She wasn't as close with Doria. So it's just been a very much a reversal
right.
in the relationships.
And there are like in her adult life. But I am interested if Doria, I mean, maybe when the baby comes, Doria will come hang out in London for a while. They just had paparazzi photos of her in LA. So she's definitely still in LA doing her thing.
Doing her thing.
I wonder what she makes of all this Tom stuff. Because we know Tom delivered a letter to her to send to Meghan.
I mean, I need to track her down in Los Angeles. I need to like rent a dog and just be walking, rent a dog down the street, just happen to run into her.
The dog, a yoga mat in one yoga, hand,
right.
dog in the other. We had one of our listeners note that she went, I can't remember if we talked about this in an episode, who went to the movie theater that she was at.
Oh, right. She saw a documentary. It seems like we could be friends. We have similar tastes.
Okay. So while Meghan might not get to spend Christmas with her mom, she started celebrating the holidays on Tuesday.
With an appearance at the Royal Variety Charities Residential Nursing and Care Home, Brinsworth House in Twickenham. That is just like the most British sentence I've ever read. This nursing home, I guess, is filled with former actors who were on kind of TV series in the 70s, 80s, 90s. Meghan was seen chatting to actress Mona Hammond, who played Blossom Jackson in EastEnders in the 90s. She also talked to Richard O'Sullivan, star of 1970s sitcoms Man About the House and Robin's Nest. Do you think they talked craft? Do you think they talked acting? Do you think any of these people had seen Suits?
Oh my God, I'm overwhelmed by those questions. I do think that they talked acting. interesting. I feel like in a very, you know, surface level way, I could see Megan saying, you know, I love that play. Or like if someone had said they were in, you know, Macbeth or something, or like, I don't know, you know, like, I feel like maybe she had kind of engaged with them on some level in that way.
Right.
I like this appearance for her. I feel like this very much suits her. No pun intended. I feel like it's just, it's like has the theatery element to it.
It has the theatery element to it.
I feel like you find it a little somber.
I do, but I think it's just like a personal issue with seeing like all these people in their old age and their retirement home. It was a little sad to me seeing them.
And I feel like she was very much on her game in terms of her little quick asides and comments.
Because I would love to know the runtime of how long this visit was, because she really ticked things off. She sat down, had like quick conversations, said she felt very good, very pregnant in videos. One former actor told her, "We're all friends here." And Megan replied, "I hope I can join the club."
I mean, like, Kate Middleton has never said that about even like her family. I feel like
there was this wild woman singing Christmas carols. She was wearing like cocktail attire,
and that was a wild video clip you sent me, because this woman sing, Megan kind of walks in the room, then this singer some Christmas carol, I forget which one, but then Megan kind of bolts over when it's over and gives her this really firm handshake, and like it was very like politician like I really feel like she's getting into the groove of these things. But it is a lot.
It's a lot. And the nursing home had kind of photos of all of the actors in their heyday. And she was like admiring the photos. She unveiled some new plaque. Of course, she spoke to the chef in the kitchen for a little bit. God.
She's never not at one of these appearances asked to go back to check out the kitchen. Also, and then this was like really the Megan bingo, because then she did calligraphy too.
I feel like she almost asked for some sort of event that incorporated her calligraphy skills.
Yeah, I mean, and this was a really, I mean, it looks amazing.
Okay, so Josh, please describe what you're seeing there, because I have a lot to discuss.
Julie might have more context for me, but this looks like some sort of everyone made a paper ornament.
Everyone was given like a paper cutout ornament like they were in second grade art class, and they had to decorate it. Of course, Megan whips out the red pen.
So she writes, it's kind of a teardrop shaped ornament.
No one has ever given this photo just this much loving care and analysis.
I'm holding my laptop now at an absurd
to
angle.
Better.
Just, it's in between two ornaments that just say Jay and Norm.
I feel so bad for Norm, because look at Norm's handwriting compared to like Megan's impeccable script.
So Megan says Merry Christmas in kind of this gorgeous, overwhelming red cursive.
It
and
is.
Then does it say Love, Megan?
It says Love, Megan.
And then I'm most intrigued, honestly, by these three yellow stars she appears to have added around.
Oh, I didn't even see those.
Right?
Oh,
am I seeing things? The sight of Megan calligraphy could have me seeing things, but I feel like she added in these kind of little the garnishes. It is a very ornate signature.
I love the confidence. She sat down at this table. There was like a cup of markers. And just everybody here is kind of doing just like a really basic thing. But there is no basic for Meghan Markle. She went in. Do you think that was her first? Are there crumpled up versions she attempted before? Or was that what a first try? Because it's perfect.
I kind of think this was her first try.
I also love that she signed the visitor guest book. Did you see that?
No. What did she write there? The same kind of thing?
I love that she signed it and it just says Megan. But again, in this impeccable script.
Another kind of interesting conversation moment she had was with, I guess, the same person who asked her how she was doing. And she said, very good, very pregnant. And then she said, she asked the resident if she had any kids, and the resident said, no, I don't. I had a career. And Megan said, yes, that I understand.
I feel like her handlers and all royal handlers are so good at like plopping Megan down in front of one person. They have like a 15-second exchange, and then they whisk her away. I would have loved if, like, Norm or one of these ladies just tried to ask about Tom and all the drama.
I wanted her to get into, like, a deep TED Talk style back and forth with this woman about, like, career and motherhood.
Right.
Like, they get a lot to say.
Right.
And then, this is my other favorite, she spoke to one resident in fluent Spanish. She just, I almost think you're right. They, like, planted someone who
right.
was able to do that as well. Like, this was this, like, every single Megan-related skill was on display here.
Oh, my God. That is such a good way of putting it. It's kind of a crime to me that there's no video of her speaking Spanish.
Yeah.
It was cute, though. I guess the people in the home said that they had watched the royal wedding. They had, like, a whole party and hung, like, little bunting. So it was very nice to see her in the flesh.
Oh, this is interesting. She told the chairman that she used to visit a similar home for retired actors in L.A. And, quote, it brought feelings of being amongst your own. Julie, I think I'm just keep adding things to do in L.A. with you. But after we try to find Doria and where Tom Markle did his Skype interview from, I think we have to find this home she went to.
Just
also, did she go in an official capacity or was it like just to check it out?
It was not an official capacity. I do not think.
It wasn't like star Meghan Markle coming to pay a visit. I mean, it's kind of interesting.
Right. Like, she had to have spoken to someone at some point about the baby, like, what she's getting Harry. I just don't understand why these people... I guess I can't get on the retired actors for not asking better questions.
Oh, so you're saying that we needed some more investigative reporting than we got.
Right, like...
We've gotten some really good investigative reporting from other appearances
in the past.
Recently.
And maybe it'll still come out.
Right.
Would have loved to hear, like, what she's getting Harry for Christmas, what she's getting the Queen, what is she most looking forward to...
And then when she left, she said Merry Christmas to everyone assembled outside.
How is that news, though?
Well, how is it news? So here's my question. Do you think, I guess I'm going to answer it myself in asking, but this came the day after the Thomas Markle interview, which was a huge story. There's so much, as we just discussed, to parse. I feel like there's going to be stories all day on People, Us, Daily Mail. There's going to be breaking down every element of this. I saw the Daily Mail head banner, and it was all these photos of her embracing her bump. And
oh, my gosh. Of course, they broke out an expert, some sort of like body language expert, who said it's very special and moving when a pregnant woman touches her bump, true. Which I could have told you that.
I mean, I just feel like it's the timing... To be a little cynical about it is very good because this is a great fun story about the royals. It's like, she looks great. She spoke Spanish. It's like, do you think somehow they were tipped off or it's just a good coincidence?
I think it's a good coincidence because I don't know. If we were those palace advisors, how would we follow up a Tom Markle interview? I think with something a little bit different than this, but I guess reminding people of her calligraphy skills, her Spanish fluency.
If they really wanted to wash away the Tom Markle thing fully, they would have had Kate go with her.
Right.
I'm still waiting for that joint Kate Meghan something.
Well, yes.
We'll have to talk to Katie about that because I guess we'll get it at Christmas.
We'll get that church outing, the photo op, the big smiles.
Yeah.
And then there's also a Christmas lunch at Buckingham Palace on Wednesday. So tomorrow.
So that will be good because we'll be able to chat with Katie about that. I feel like we'll get to see, if my memory serves me correctly, for that kind of Christmas lunch, you only usually see them in the cars on the way in. So we're not going to get full sort of photo evidence, but George and Charlotte will go.
Okay. We have to ask Katie what the chances are that someone at that lunch would bring up Tom Markle, and what are the chances that Tom Markle will be brought up like during the actual Christmas celebrations.
I know. I wonder if it's one of those things. I can't think of a good example in my life, but like if there's anything where someone doesn't avoids a topic and it's kind of awkward. Like
right.
Maybe everyone goes out of their way to not even mention their own fathers.
Right.
For fear of somehow it making Meghan uncomfortable. I feel like she's the type, though. She's such a smooth...
She is so smooth.
Things so smoothly. Like, I just kind of feel either she has some way of handling it or kind of putting people at ease, or maybe she makes a joke about it.
Right. That would be our move.
Some sort of self-deprecating thing about how crazy all the drama's been. Though you have to be careful who you say that to. But yeah, I'm excited for the launch. And also I mean, last year, the four of them were photographed together going into church at Christmas. I wonder if we'll get that same photo op this year.
Right, definitely. What else are you hoping for coming out of the Christmas reports? I hope there will be a lot of them. I hope there's some inside mole who's going to leak everything.
100%. I'm hoping Beatrice is like going to be on speed dial with someone at the Daily Mail. One of the stories that came out, I think, over the weekend that some of you guys, I think, messaged us about was that Harry is going to skip the Royal Boxing Day hunt for Meghan, and that William wasn't pleased about this because it was another example of him sort of changing his ways. So I'm interested if we're going to get more intel on that, if he'll go on the hunt or not.
Right. And just how that will affect the celebrations.
I mean, the hunt always seemed kind of crazy to me. So if he doesn't do it, I'll feel fine about it. But it will be interesting because I feel like that will be a sign of things changing.
Right. I can't wait. And I'm so excited to talk to Katie about this.
Yeah. All right. Well, that does it for this week's episode of In the Limelight. Thank you guys so much for listening. Please remember to check us out on Apple Podcasts. We really appreciate it. It helps us find new listeners.
And now you can reach out and leave us a voicemail. That number is 347-790-0966. So if you happen to be at any of these Christmas royal events or know someone who has, definitely call in. You can also reach out to us on Twitter at In the Limelight or follow us individually. I'm at Julie W. Miller.
And I'm at Jay Duboff. We're also on Instagram at In the Limelight Pod. This episode was edited and produced by Daniel Roth. Thanks so much for joining us. We'll talk to you next week. And until then,
no bad energy.